Testing, testing. Okay, so the title of the message this morning is Down From His Glory. Since this morning is a communion service, I would like to discuss what the sacrifice of Jesus means to us. What was involved in Jesus' decision to become the sacrifice for the fallen sin nature of humanity? What do we know about this decision? What did that decision cost him? What does that decision mean to us? Jesus decided to become the sacrifice for sin as soon as Satan sinned and contaminated the entire universe. What do we see in the cross? How well do we understand it? What is the value of the cross in our lives? What is in the depth of the accomplishment at the cross? This morning we want to briefly review what Jesus accomplished for us at his crucifixion. In the hymn at the cross we read, "Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond measure, love beyond degree." So what was accomplished at the cross? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." God, in his boundless love and mercy, through the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus, has given us the inheritance of heaven. Max Lucado, a Christian author, said that God would rather die for you than live without you. Wow. Jesus still has the nail prints in his hands to prove it. And he wants to live with you forever. Think of that. He wants to live with us forever. Sometimes we're not easy to live with. We're not easy to get along with. We all know we're human. We have our ways. Jesus wants to live for us forever. Bless the Lord. Man has always wondered about what heaven is like. He has even written about imaginary heavenly places that you could read about in literature. What do we know about heaven? What is the scenery like? What is its atmosphere like? What about the sights, the sounds, and the glories of heaven? What does the Bible have to say about heaven? Well, you can read about it. I won't this morning. We have in the past. You can read about heaven in Revelation 21, verses 10 to 27, Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. But in there, you will find out that each side of the city has three gates, and these gates are made of pearl. Angels are at the gates. The city is a square with each side measuring 12,000 stadia. Now, a stadion is 1/8 of a mile. So each side of the city is 1,500 miles. The wall of the city is 144 cubits thick. A cubit is the distance from the elbow to the tip of the third finger, which is roughly 18 inches. So imagine a jasper wall of the city, 72 yards thick. This is what Jesus has reserved for us. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, with each foundation composed of precious stones. I'm going to read them. You may or may not recognize some of the names of these stones, but I'm going to read them. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. The names of these gems are only an earthly representation of something heavenly. So as beautiful as you could imagine with these stones, the foundation of the wall is more beautiful than we could actually visualize with the names of these stones. The streets are made of pure gold. Now, with today's inflation, even 14 karat gold is probably through the roof now. The streets of heaven are pure gold, 24 karat, and maybe beyond that. We're going to be walking on it, walking on it. The splendor and the radiance, the glory of God is so great that it lights up the entire city, so there is no need of the sun or the moon. There is an eternal day up there because there is no night, and you'll never get tired in heaven. I can't wait for that. Yeah, really. Imagine a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God in the tree of life, bearing 12 varieties of fruits. There will be no more sorrow or tears, no more pain or suffering, no more death. There's no graves on the hillsides of glory. Imagine that. What about the glory of Jesus? We will see Jesus in all his glory. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 says, "And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We will stand before him and worship him in person. Or maybe we won't be able to stand before him. We may fall down before him and be speechless when we see him. What will his awesome presence be like? You remember the song came out about 20, 25 years ago, "I Could Only Imagine"? And the lines say, "Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I could only imagine." We will see God the Father in all his glory and splendor. What about heavenly worship? Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that the angels at the throne of God worship him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." I want to read to you, if you could turn to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 to 14. Those online, it's Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. We're going to read about heavenly worship. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped him. You know, we miss those who have gone on before us. I miss my parents. We have people over here who have lost their parents or a loved one. This is what they're experiencing, though. And this is what gets me through the loss. This is what they are experiencing. And one day, at the rapture of the church, which is coming soon, we're going to be united with them and worshiping at the throne of God. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 states, And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, if you will turn with me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8. I'll give you a moment to get there. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus left what we just read about. He left the incredible, unimaginable beauty and glory of heaven, his throne, the worship of many thousands of angels, removed his glory and majesty, and became a man. And not only that he became a man, he became a servant to man. Bless the Lord. We look forward to living in heaven, and Jesus left it for us. He lived with miserable, sinful people. He had lovingly decided to pay the price for our sin and misery. Jesus knew what life on earth would be like and how it would end with the mocking, the pulling out of his beard, the scourging, the crucifixion, and he willingly came anyway. He left heaven to become a suffering servant. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 reads, it tells us that Jesus was referred to as the carpenter's son. In this instance, it was as if he didn't even have his own identity. Jesus was a carpenter, but he was known only as the carpenter's son. John 13 records that he washed, talk about humility, he washed the disciples' feet, including Judas Iscariot, who he knew would betray him. He took upon him the form of a servant. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became a servant to something he created. He became a servant to something that was and is subordinate to him. Usually the subordinate serves the greater. But in Jesus' case, it was the opposite. The Creator became a servant to something that he created. He lived to serve man and then died so that man would not have to spend an eternity in hell. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became sin so that he could save the sinner. All these truths are manifestations of his infinite humility. You could turn with me to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 19 to 31. Those online, Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 31. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And the poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so they will not also come in this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. So the rich man went to hell and was tormented in the flames. He cried out for a drop of water to cool his tongue. There's no getting out of hell. It is eternal torment. Jesus does not send anyone to hell. A person sends himself by constantly rejecting the Lord and his sacrifice all his life, even at the point of death. Jesus does not send anyone to hell. The person sends himself. Three characteristics of hell can be seen in this passage. Torment in the flames, memory of lost opportunities. The rich man could have given food and clothes to the beggar, but he never did. He could have given Lazarus an opportunity to wash and invite him for dinner, but he never did. He could have sent Lazarus to the doctor and paid for his bills. Luke was a doctor, but he never did. And there's a third characteristic of hell, eternal separation from God. Now I want to read to you Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. You can turn with me to it if you want. Mark chapter 9 and verses 43 to 48. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands than to go to hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and where the fire is not quenched. So Jesus was not recommending physical mutilation of your body, but he was saying strive against sin. Make your best effort not to fall into sin. Jesus then described two characteristics of hell. The worms don't die. They inhabit the souls in hell. The fire is not quenched. It never goes out. Matthew 25, verse 30 says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But thanks to the cross, we will not have to experience these horrors of hell. That's the only reason why we're not going to experience hell. Do you see the value of the cross and Jesus' crucifixion as we have a communion service this morning? Thanks to the cross and the cross alone, we will not have to experience these horrors of hell. Thanks to the cross and Jesus hanging on it for 6 hours, we will not have to experience the horrors of hell. Satan and all his powers and hell were defeated at the cross. Can we say, "Thank you, Jesus"? Can I hear a little louder than that? No. Can I? Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 This is what we need to understand in studying the infinite value of the cross in our lives. We can't fathom the value of the cross in our lives. What Jesus did for us at the cross is super amazing. Often we sing, and we did this morning, "Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul will be lost." Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. We should have a profound love and appreciation for Jesus and his sacrifice at the cross. We owe everything to Jesus. We owe everything to Jesus. He willingly, lovingly left all the glory and splendor and awesome beauty of heaven so that he could become the sacrifice for our sins. He didn't have sin. The sacrifice for our sins through the most awful suffering and pain and agony. He freed us from eternal hell and opened heaven instead. Did you ever hear of such love? A place more beautiful, more wonderful than our wildest imagination, and it will never end. All the glory and the splendor and the awesome beauty of heaven that we discussed this morning will be our eternal home because of Jesus. In his great, great heart, he said, "I will die for you so that you can live with me in my home forever." Forever in heaven instead of forever in hell. Only Jesus would do that for us. Only Jesus. We want to have the mindset of the Apostle Paul. Christ only, Christ crucified. That should be the motto of our life. Christ only, Christ crucified. We really owe everything to Jesus. All our love, all our devotion, consecration, commitment, our all on the altar of sacrifice, all that we possess, all that we are, everything about us, our entire life, we owe to Jesus.
Amen.
Power of God is up here. Wow. You just have to even walk to this table in reverence. Jesus is here. He's here. Not worthy to touch the bread. Jesus, make me worthy because I'm not. Make me worthy, Lord Jesus. incredible presence up here. When Jesus instituted the Holy Supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took a cup and gave thanks and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray over this bread and this wine and this grape juice that it becomes the body and the blood of our Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning's message. We thank you, Lord, that we could partake of your body and of your blood this morning. Lord, we pray that this wine and this grape juice becomes your precious, most awesome, most precious blood, and this bread becomes your body. Lord, may you bless it to our bodies, and we thank you with all our hearts. Cleanse us of our sin and our iniquity, Lord, as we partake from your table. Amen. We want to examine ourselves this morning and ask the Lord to forgive our sins and also to help us to walk in the path that he has chosen for us. I want to ask the Lord, take a few moments, ask the Lord to forgive your sins and that we would just walk more committed, more consecrated to him, because he certainly deserves it. Bless the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask ushers to help me up here. If I could have Dylan and Chelsea to help me up here. Bless the Lord. This is the grape juice. This is the grape juice. This is the one. Let's wait a bit. So one to take.